Radio Prague News. Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík has announced the makeup of the government's anti-corruption team. Several dozen environment activists demonstrated outside the Czech Environment Ministry on Monday, demanding the dismissal of Šumava National Park head Jan Stráský. And a Prague court has handed the head of the Supreme Audit Office, František Dohnal, an 18-month suspended sentence for failing to allow an investigation into the office's financing. Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík of Public Affairs, who is to spearhead the government's anti-corruption drive, has announced the members of a new anti-corruption team. The committee, which is to coordinate the fight against corruption and assess proposed legislation with regard to possible loopholes and corruption risks, will be made up of 8 cabinet ministers, including the Justice, Interior and Finance ministers, and Mrs. Pík's own deputy, Robert Vacek. The committee is to meet once a month and will be able to propose legislation, establish working commissions and employ advisors from different fields. Several dozen environment activists demonstrated outside the Czech Environment Ministry on Monday, demanding the dismissal of Šumava National Park head Jan Stráský. Mr. Stráský has come under fire for his radical policy in dealing with bark beetle infestation in the protected nature reserve, using harsh chemical insecticides and ordering the felling of 5,000 Nordic spruce trees. Environment Minister Tomáš Chalupa came out to talk to the demonstrators, but insisted that Jan Stráský had his full support. He said the controversy would be resolved by a new law on the national park currently being prepared, which would introduce regulations for dealing with similar situations. A Prague court has handed the head of the Supreme Audit Office, František Dohnal, an 18-month suspended sentence for failing to allow an investigation into the office's financing. After receiving reports about mismanagement of funds from inside the Supreme Audit Office, Czech MPs appointed an independent auditing firm and set up a commission to look into the matter. Mr. Dohnal refused to cooperate with them or provide access to relevant documents, saying he would not bow to political pressure. He can still appeal the verdict. The Czech Mint reports unprecedented interest in investment gold, saying it had sold close to 100 million crowns worth of gold in the past week. The reason behind the heightened interest is the price of gold on world markets and the volatility on stock markets. There has also been a surge in demand for the gold coins, which are minted annually. Education Minister Josef Dobeš on Monday promised not to lower the wages of non-teaching staff in 2012, saying that he would have to find the money in the ministry's own budget. Following talks with Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek on Monday, Mr. Dobeš said that since there were no reserves in state coffers, he would revise his priorities and find the necessary 700 million crowns from other primarily investment sources. Trade unions had been threatening to strike over the proposed wage reduction, which would have lowered the average monthly wage of non-teaching staff to 13,000 crowns a month. The average monthly wage in the Czech Republic is just over 22,000 crowns. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday is expected to bring more rain, but the weather should improve from midweek, with temperatures gradually rising to 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. So the Pride Parade finally comes to the cobbled streets of Prague, and the Golden City turns every colour of the rainbow. We report on a festival of spandex, sequins, and only a few skinheads. And in One-on-One, American counsellor and singer Gail Whitmore talks about her work with Prague Pride and engendering greater sexual tolerance in the Czech Republic.
From what I've seen, it's been tremendously tolerant. I'd say the scene itself is just extremely friendly and open. Certainly yesterday was an indicator of the support, with the thousands of people marching and then the thousands of people watching.
That's in One-on-One coming up later, plus, of course, our regular Monday sports roundup. You're tuned to Radio Prague. So So in spite of the heated political debates, accusations and criticisms that had overshadowed the build-up to Prague's first gay and lesbian festival, the Prague Pride Parade passed off largely without incident on Saturday. The parade was the highlight of a five-day festival of tolerance held in the Czech capital, and it was attended by some 7,000 gays and lesbians. Far-right demonstrators had threatened to disrupt the event, but in the end caused only minor disruption as the parade went through the city centre before the crowd gathered for a music festival on Strzelecki Island. Rob Cameron reports on a noisy, colourful, if somewhat controversial day in downtown Prague.
Hello everyone!
A colourful, flamboyant, noisy parade makes its way through the streets of Prague. The sea of rainbow flags and people of all ages and sexual persuasions easily drowning out any voices of protest. At one point, transsexuals dancing on a flatbed truck blew kisses at a small group of far-right skinheads who could do nothing but shake their fists in anger. For these marchers, the event was a celebration and not a political demonstration.
Well, we come here, we've come to celebrate life. We've come to celebrate tolerance for everyone.
Yeah, as my friend said, to celebrate tolerance and to have fun.
And have a good time. That's why we're here.
Good time and support love, life and tolerance. That's all we can say.
Is it mostly a good time or is it more about making an important political point?
I think we passed the political, you know, statement. They are important and they have been in the past, and that's why we can be free and celebrate what we are celebrating today. Yes, of course, it's political expression for everyone. So, but we respect that. That's freedom, no?
Yeah.
And liberty.
We live in democracy, so we need the tolerance, we need the love, we need the support of all the people, and we are human beings.
Prague Pride, the capital's first gay pride event, might have passed off almost without notice had it not been for the comments of Petr Hájek, senior advisor to the country's conservative president, Václav Klaus. Around a week before the festival began, Mr. Hájek railed against the official support given to it by the city council and described gay people as deviants, kicking off an at times acrimonious debate over what tolerance means. Czeslaw Válek is the director of the festival.
Look, from the beginning we decided as a team that the Prague Pride is basically non-partisan, non-political activity. So as such we don't want to get involved very deeply into the political discourse. For me personally, statements of Mr. Hájek are marginal, and I think that people should come to Prague Pride to see that we are not a bunch of deviants, that we are just basically people who want to have fun and who want to get to know each other better.
A group of 13 foreign ambassadors later responded to Mr. Hayek's comments by signing an open letter supporting Prague Pride, a response that was swiftly condemned by President Klaus as interference in his country's domestic affairs. He said he fully identified with his advisor's comments, explaining that he was opposed not to homosexuality per se, but homosexualism, a word that left most people scrambling for a dictionary. Indeed, the debate over Prague Pride did at times seem comically semantic. At one point, in his defence of Mr. Hájek, the president claimed the word deviancy was neutral in meaning. But despite the heated debate, the event was deemed a success, and organisers are already talking about a repeat next year.
Well, had the Czech capital ever witnessed anything like that before? I'm not quite so sure. That was Rob Cameron there. And there were Czech sporting colours being brandished at the weekend as well. And here's Jan Richter.
Some 3 weeks ahead of a crucial European Championship qualifier against Scotland, the Czech national football team travelled to Norway for a friendly. But the game ended in a disaster for the Czechs, who lost 3-0, equaling the worst result in the team's history. The Czechs only came close to scoring once, and their defence was leaky. Goalkeeper Petr Čech only saw one positive feature of the game.
I think we can sum it up quite simply. Nothing worked. The only thing positive about the game was the fact that it wasn't part of the Euro 2012 qualification. Everything else, the style of play, what we wanted to show, what we prepared for, just did not happen. It was one of those games when you get ready and it unfortunately turns out to be a complete opposite.
Despite ranking second in the I group of the Euro 2012 qualification, 6 points behind Spain and 5 points ahead of Scotland and Lithuania, the Czechs have had a streak of poor games over the past year or so. The pressure is mounting on head coach Michal Bílek to step down, but after the game in Norway, the coach said he had no intention to do so.
My task is to advance the European Championship. When you look at our qualifying group, we are in the second place, ahead of our biggest rivals, Scotland and Lithuania. We never really failed any of the qualifying games, which is why I'm not considering stepping down.
Staying with football, the third round of the Czech top division finally saw a win by last season's champions Viktoria Plzeň. After a home draw and an away loss, the Czech title holders beat Teplice 2-0 on Friday with strikes by Václav Pilař and Michal Juriš, moving up to 8th place. Last year's runners-up Sparta Prague had a much better start with 3 wins in the first 3 rounds and are now in the lead, 2 points ahead of Liberec in the second place. Among the 3 newcomers, Hradec Králové has been doing best so far, ranking 6th, with 2 wins and 1 loss. The biggest disappointment so far has been one of the most popular Czech clubs, Baník Ostrava, who is last with 0 points and 11 conceded goals after the first 3 rounds of the top Czech football division. However, to fight their way up the league table, Baník signed their former striker Václav Svěrkoš, who comes back after a poor stint with the French club Sochaux and Greece's Panathinaikos. Turning to motorcycle racing, the Czech Republic hosted the Grand Prix at the Masaryk Circuit in Brno over the past weekend, with 2 Czech riders taking part. Practice results of Karel Abraham in the MotoGP and Jakub Kornfil in the 125 cubic centimeters category did not suggest they could please the crowd in Sunday's race. But Jakub Kornfil showed a great performance and moved up from 20th position on the grid to 7th place, equaling his best result in the season. After the race, Jakub Kornfil said he thought he could have done even better.
The race was decided in the 4th lap. There was a group of riders competing for 2nd place, and I wanted to join them. One of the riders dropped out. I passed him and we started fighting. But that delayed us and I could not catch up with the group ahead of us.
In the MotoGP category, Karel Abraham was last on the grid, but had a great start and passed 2 other riders. However, he fell in the 5th lap, and although he managed to come back in the race, his bike failed him 8 laps later, and the Czech did not finish. In overall standings, both Czech riders ranked 12th in their respective categories. In cycling, Czech cross-country biker Jaroslav Kulhavý scored another great success. After winning the European title last weekend, he took his 4th World Cup win in Nové Město na Moravě on Sunday and secured the overall title. In front of a home crowd of supporters, Kulhavý was in the lead from the start and finished first, 45 seconds ahead of the Swiss rider Nino Schurter. After the race, the Czech champion told Czech radio just how much he valued his triumph.
It's the biggest success for me so far. The competition takes place throughout the season, which means you can't do poorly in any of the races. There is no room for mistakes. That's why I really appreciate it. 4 wins is something amazing.
And finally, some sad news came from Brno on Wednesday, where the 3-time hockey world champion and 3-time Olympic medalist Oldřich Machač died at the age of 65. The legendary defenseman spent most of his career in the club that is now Kometa Brno, where he played between 1967 and 1978, and he later played 4 seasons for the West German club Stabels Rosenheim. In 1972, he was selected into the World Championships All-Star Team and was inducted into the International Ice Hockey Federation's Hall of Fame in 1999.
Jan Richter there with Monday's Sport. You're tuned to Radio Prague, and it's time now for our interview show, One-on-One. And in the light of the Prague Pride Festival, Christian Falvey talks to the Scottish-American singer and counsellor Gail Whitmore about her role in helping to organise Prague Pride and about her long-term residence here in the Czech Republic.
New York native Gail Whitmore, a classically trained opera singer, says she came to Prague for 4 days in 2001 and just never went home. Since then, she has involved herself in activities from singing, in which regard she's known as the human jukebox, moderating and radio hosting, to her prime profession as a counselor, dealing particularly with crisis prevention and street harassment. Most recently, she was involved in the Prague Pride Festival, where she manned both the stage and the crisis hotline. With quite a lot to talk about then, I started with the question everybody must surely ask her first. So many Czechs want to go to New York. Everybody wants to go to New York. It's the dream of everyone to go to New York. What made you choose life in Prague over life in New York? And what keeps you here today?
Okay, well, that one of the main things is health insurance. I have a disability, and that's nowadays it's just, I mean, once I turned 18, I no longer had health insurance, which made the 10 years back in New York excruciating. It was either 8-hour lines at the hospital where they do not allow you to sit. And if you sit for a minute, you lose your place in line. And that was basically my life, the life of my friends. It continues to be the life of my friends now. All these people who hold higher degrees from excellent universities absolutely drives me crazy. And now, I mean, being born with a disability, guess what? That's a pre-existing condition. You're totally and completely screwed. And for people who say you didn't take care of yourself, well, I didn't have a choice. I was just born. So coming here, I am completely covered. I am covered. I have excellent, excellent doctors, excellent care. I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my entire life. So that was my number one reason to stay. After that, it was just my lifestyle in America was extremely difficult aside from that because I was pursuing an opera career. So I had to do work that didn't suit my personality or my skill set at all in order to pay for my voice lessons. And when I came here, I was able to use the skills that I have and actually be compensated for it and able to have a life. Like I love languages and I speak a few languages, but that simply wasn't interesting in New York. So that was one thing. And my volunteer work was extremely important to me in New York, but of course you don't get paid. And then here I was able to use the certification I'd had in that to start my practice, which we can get into later.
You work as a singer and also as a counselor. What kind of people and what kind of problems do you find yourself dealing with most?
The kind of people are 97% expats, English speaking. English doesn't necessarily have to be their first language, but they would be more comfortable in English than if they can find someone in their language. The main problems, I'd say, are depression, thoughts of suicide, a lot of self-injury and eating disorders. A fair amount of people as adults coming to grips with the sexual assault they suffered or survived as children. I found that many of the people I work with have moved here to try to just escape their life back home, kind of the, you know, if I go away, it didn't happen or I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Well, sorry to interrupt you, but that's kind of what I wanted to ask. So most of these problems aren't actually related in any way to their lives as expats living in a foreign country.
Not specifically,
but,
no.
But many of them have come to a foreign country to try to escape from those kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm. There are a few people dealing with culture shock or dealing with, they came here and thought that after they got their TEFL, they were going to have this great job and have a lot of money. And then they found out it didn't work that way. So, but that's not that often. I find it's primarily people who probably would have been in counseling back home, but it was too difficult to be home. So are here and now find they still need it. And once they've left where they came from, they've also left behind their entire support system. So that means their therapist, it means their parents, their friends, means everything they would have turned to. So now they find themselves here. It's completely new to them. Their old problems are still there and they're completely alone and they don't know what to do. And so that's pretty much what I work with.
Certainly people who don't yet live in the Czech Republic have come to you and asked, said that they might be interested in living here and asked you what kind of problems they might face or how difficult the move would be. What do you tell them?
I ask them to think very strongly about who they really feel they are inside, not just in terms of career. Like, don't really put that first. Like, are you someone who enjoys travel, enjoys adventure, enjoys really new experiences, is able to deal with some instability in terms of finance, being shaken a little bit, or maybe in regard to language or culture, things not being exactly the way you want. You're not going to find, you know, caffeine-free diet A&W cream soda in the store. So to think about those things, if that's something that excites them, then say, okay, well, then the next question would be, you know, are you at a point in your life you feel you can really make this change? Do you have some personal things that are perhaps unresolved? And if so, why? And to reflect on that in their own time. Or is this a good time in your life? Are you planning to have a family? If so, are you planning to do it here? Because again, you'll be leaving behind your support system, and it's difficult to have a child in a foreign country. And now I've learned that firsthand. And, you know, are you going with someone? Or are you going on your own? So if that someone has a job, what's your plan? Because there's only so long you can set up house. And what is your plan? And really to think about those kind of things before they make the final decision.
Yeah, as a singer, you were just involved with the Prague Pride Festival. I see you're still wearing your Prague Pride pin today.
I am indeed. Happy Pride, even though it's over. Happy Pride, everyone. yes, I am wearing it. I intend to wear it for a while until the subject kind of is off the radar, and I have a feeling that's not going to happen in the next few weeks.
Well, there was a lot of controversy in the week leading up to the parade regarding comments made by various Czech officials, conservative mm-hmm. officials, including the president, that seemed, in the public eye at least, to test the tolerance of Czech society towards homosexuals. Mm-hmm. Having lived here for 10 years, how do you see tolerance towards homosexuals generally?
I would say I just want to say that, I mean, I think my perspective on that is based around my immediate social circle and the few people I've worked with. So I can't speak as to the entire demographic or the population of the Czech Republic. But from what I've seen, it's been tremendously tolerant as opposed to some of the neighboring countries. I know I've spoken with people who have with men who have boyfriends who live in Poland, and they absolutely cannot come out to their families. In fact, they have quote unquote girlfriends there who act as their beards, so to speak, you know. So, and then they come to Prague, and it's just, they just can't live their lives where they live. And a number of people, I know one transsexual woman who moved away from Slovakia to move to Prague because she finds that she can live here and be herself here. Then some people from a lot of smaller towns in the United States where it was just very difficult for them to live and to be happy being who they are. So they came here, and I'd say the scene itself is just extremely friendly and open. And certainly yesterday was an indicator of the support, with the thousands of people marching and then the thousands of people watching. I mean, I felt it was safe enough to take my small child, and we went, we had a great time. And the only people that were there confronting that I saw, it was still peaceful. They were peaceful, but firm, and you know, back at you, we were too. And, I found people to be very receptive and very open, and I was extremely surprised and heartened by the success that we enjoyed.
So you feel like it was a successful venture. The years to come, we'll probably see repeats of the Prague Pride. You think it could become a tradition?
Oh, I certainly hope so. I think they're already starting to plan it. I mean, I assume they might be taking a nap right now. It would be well-deserved. None of us really slept these last 5 days. I was the English language-speaking on-call counselor and crisis person for the entire festival, so I just had to be vigilantly watching my phone, and I'm really happy I didn't get a single call. But at the same time, I tend to think it might come later. A lot of people, if they experience something, they're not going to call right away. They need to wait, process, and then get in touch. But I'm also the director of Osvise, which is the Czech branch of the Holoback movement, an international movement to end street harassment against women and gay and transgender people. And we also, I walked around for the last few days just carrying two laptops with me, going up to people. They could submit their stories of harassment. It's confidential, it's anonymous, and people were not experiencing it during Pride. They're experiencing it plenty outside, so don't want to say it doesn't exist here, but during Pride, it was an okay time. It was a more than okay time. It was a very successful time in terms of emergency.
I suppose it's also early for you to be able to say whether the event changed any opinions or led to any awakenings, either on the side of heterosexual attendees or homosexual attendees.
I'd say it's early from a broader perspective, but again, from the closer perspective, I ran into a friend of mine at the parade whose mother is a lesbian, whose sister is a lesbian, and he came out to support, and he was just stunned. He's like, I can't believe that there's this much support. We were so happy about that. And then my mother, she also lives here. She's 77 years old. And I took her out to see Me Against the Carol, which was a show put on where some individuals came out and gave their stories of being gay. And it was a phenomenal show. And she wanted to see it because she doesn't know very much about gay culture. And she was very cute. Every single person that we saw in the venue, she's like, and are they gay? And are they gay? I was like, no, mom, they just work here. Or I have no idea if they're gay. I haven't slept with them. I really don't know. You know,
just to explain the accent, your mother's Scottish.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My mother is Scottish. And so she said that it was really important for her to go because it got her very upset to think that there were young people growing up who were not being accepted by their families, and felt that they actually had to flee and go somewhere else to feel that way. And she said, well, I don't know your friends here, but I know all of your friends. She's like, ah, but I know all of your friends back in New York, you know. Mm-hmm. And she remembers them. She said, I want to go to this to honor them. And when I told that to some of the cast, two of them just started crying. It meant so much to them. And after the show, I asked her, I said, well, what do you think? I mean, I think she, you know, also being an older generation, has the idea that if you're gay, that means you sleep with everybody. And if you're gay, you love to wear pink dresses and feathers. And I said, well, you know, it could be, but that could be if you're straight too. Or some people really don't want to be labeled at all because it's really nobody's business. And I said, I wanted you to see this show to see it represented three types of what gaydom, gaiety, whatever the correct word would be, and to show that it's really just about being people. It's really not even about sex itself. And just, it's just about acceptance and being happy with who you are. And she said that she totally agreed. She's like, yeah. And she really hasn't had that experience before. So can't wait to take her clubbing next week.
Christian Falvey was in conversation with the Prague-based councillor and singer Gail Whitmore, and that just about brings us to the end of Radio Prague for today. Please don't forget, of course, to check out the website www.radio.cz. 6 language versions there for you to play around with, lots of stuff, information about the Czech Republic. Please do check it out. Anyway, on probably the least summery day you can ever imagine here in the Czech capital, from me, Peter Smith. Until next time, bye-bye.